All right, let's uncork this deep dug. We're getting into red wine grapes today.
Specifically, we'll be breaking down the big three.
You got it. Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and then
Tempranillo.
Tempranillo, that's right.
And by the end,
you'll know exactly how to tell them apart in a blind tasting, how they're made. And
how long you can hold on to them.
Yeah, how long they can age. And I got to say, I was so excited to jump into this research.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I learned so much about where these grapes grow best and, you know.
It's fascinating stuff.
Really is.
Yeah.
Okay, so first off, why are we focusing on these three? What makes them like the stars of the red wine world?
If you look at how much is planted all over the world, these three are consistently at the top.
Like worldwide?
Worldwide, yeah. Both in 2000 and 2010, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Tempranillo were the top three.
Wow.
They're popular for a reason.
Okay. So I bet a lot of you listening have already tried wines made from these grapes.
Wow.
Think back to what it was like. Were they bold and kind of tannic, or soft and fruity, or maybe even a little earthy?
I'm curious. What do you think?
I guess we're about to find out.
All right. Let's start with Cabernet Sauvignon.
Let's do it.
Cabernet Sauvignon is definitely the king of bold flavors.
Okay.
Like you get that black currant cedar and maybe even a little bit of green bell pepper.
Like that kind of vegetal note you sometimes get in Cabernet Franc.
You're right. Exactly.
I've always noticed that in some Cabernet Sauvignon.
It's classic Cabernet Sauvignon.
Interesting.
And speaking of Cabernet Franc, did you know that Cabernet Sauvignon is actually a cross between Cabernet Franc and Sauvignon Blanc?
Whoa, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, scientists discovered this.
Wow.
Using DNA fingerprinting.
Using DNA.
It's amazing. It shows us how we're learning more and more about the history of these grape varieties.
That's so cool. So we've got this bold grape, complex flavors, and now a family history.
Mm-hmm.
How does that translate to the winemaking process?
Well, with Cabernet Sauvignon, you often age it in oak barrels.
Okay.
And that adds even more complexity.
So we're talking like vanilla spice.
Yeah, vanilla spice.
Maybe a little toasty.
Maybe a little toast, yeah.
Yeah.
And the tannins from the oak also kind of combine with the tannins that are already in the grapes.
Okay.
Creating a wine with a really impressive structure.
Makes sense.
And aging potential.
Oh, speaking of tannins, those are the things that make your mouth feel all dry after a sip of red wine, right?
That's exactly it. They're in the grape skins, seeds, and stems.
Mm.
And they play a huge role in how the wine feels and how long it can age.
So Cabernet Sauvignon is naturally high in tannins.
Exactly. Which is one of the reasons it can age for decades.
Decades. Okay, now that's what I call cellar worthy.
Right.
So we've got Cabernet Sauvignon, bold, age worthy, oaky, tannic.
Mm.
Let's move on to Merlot.
All right, how does it compare?
Merlot is often described as Cabernet Sauvignon's softer side, more approachable, you know.
It's known for those plummy, cherry-like fruit flavors and often a little hint of chocolate or mocha.
Hmm. So it's still full-bodied.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a bit more fruit-forward and less tannic.
Exactly. It has this smooth, velvety texture and a richness that makes it great to drink young.
I see.
But don't think that means it can't age.
Right.
A well-made Merlot can still age for a decade or more.
Oh, interesting. I feel like a lot of people think Merlot is just for blending, but it sounds like it can totally stand on its own.
Totally. Actually, Merlot's a key player in some of the best wines in the world.
Like where?
The right bank of Bordeaux.
Oh, fancy.
It's true.
Okay, so we've got bold Cabernet Sauvignon and luscious Merlot. What about Tempranillo?
Yeah.
What makes it different?
Tempranillo is like Spain's signature grape.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a chameleon. It can be light and fruity or dense and age-worthy.
Interesting.
Depends.
Yeah. I've always found Tempranillo to be super interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's got this savory, earthy quality
that
you don't really find in other grapes.
Like, I don't know how to explain it.
You're spot on. That's Tempranillo.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy.
Think leather, tobacco, dried herbs, and then a core of red fruit.
Oh.
It's unique.
Okay.
And just like Cabernet Sauvignon, Tempranillo often gets aged in oak.
Right, right.
Which adds notes of vanilla, spice.
Okay.
Even coconut sometimes.
Coconut.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so we've got three very different personalities here. Bold Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah.
Luscious Merlot. And then savory and earthy Tempranillo.
I like it.
They all go through fermentation though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So what are the differences in the winemaking process?
Well, fermentation is like the backbone of winemaking.
Right.
It's that magical process where yeast turns the sugar into alcohol.
Yeah.
And turns grape juice into wine.
I love it.
But even though all three of these grapes go through fermentation, subtle changes can really impact the final wine.
Like what kind of variations are we talking about?
One key factor is maceration.
Maceration. It's basically how long the grape skins and the juice stay together during fermentation.
I see.
So Cabernet Sauvignon, with its thick skins and lots of tannins, often needs a longer maceration.
To really get all that good stuff out.
Right. To get more color, flavor, and structure.
So it's kind of like steeping tea, right?
Yeah.
The longer you steep it, the stronger the flavor.
Exactly. And with Merlot, winemakers might want a shorter maceration time to keep those softer fruit-forward flavors.
So it's all about fine-tuning.
Right.
Bringing out the best in each grape.
Exactly.
What about the temperature?
The temperature during fermentation.
Yeah. Does that make a difference?
Definitely. It affects how those aromas and flavors develop.
Okay.
So a warmer fermentation can give you more intense fruit flavors and a bigger body, while a cooler fermentation might keep those delicate aromas and create a more elegant and restrained style.
So it's like cooking with different temperatures.
Exactly. Good analogy. And then you've got malolactic fermentation.
Right. You mentioned that earlier.
It usually happens after the first fermentation.
It softens the wine and makes it smoother.
Right, exactly. It basically converts the tart malic acid, which is naturally in grapes, into a softer lactic acid.
So like the difference between a tart green apple and creamy yogurt.
You got it. Now here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Malolactic fermentation almost always happens with Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot.
Makes sense.
To round out the acidity and give it a smoother texture.
Right, right.
But with Tempranillo, it's a choice.
Oh, really?
Some winemakers like that natural acidity in Tempranillo, which makes the wines brighter and great with food.
Mm.
Others go for the malolactic fermentation for a smoother, more easy drinking style.
Interesting.
So even though they're all red grapes, there's a lot of nuance in how the wines are made.
Yeah, for sure.
What about oak aging? We've talked about that a bit.
Right, right. Yeah. How does it differ for each grape?
Well, oak aging is super important for all three. It adds complexity and affects how long they can age, but the type of oak and how long you age can be totally different.
Okay, that makes sense.
Cabernet Sauvignon often spends time in new French oak barrels.
Okay.
Which adds flavors like vanilla, spice, and cedar.
I love that.
Merlot might be aged in a mix of new and used oak, or even American oak.
Oh.
Which gives it a sweeter vanilla flavor.
So it's like adding a final seasoning to the wine.
Perfect analogy. It's all about finding the right balance to enhance what's already in the grape.
I love that.
Now, aging potential.
Yes. Big question. Do all three grapes age the same?
They can all age, but their timelines are different.
Okay.
Cabernet Sauvignon, with all those tannins and acidity, is known for aging a long time.
Like how long are we talking?
Decades.
Wow, impressive.
It develops all sorts of complex flavors as it ages.
Merlot can age too, though, right?
Yes, but usually not as long as Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay.
It tends to peak in about a decade.
But still, a good run.
Definitely.
What about Tempranillo?
Tempranillo is a bit of a wild card.
Oh.
Some Tempranillos, especially from regions like Rioja and Ribera del Duero in Spain, can age for decades.
Wow.
They get really deep and complex.
Interesting.
But there are also some lighter, fruitier styles that are best enjoyed young.
It's amazing how much goes into making a bottle of wine.
I know, right?
It's a blend of nature, science, and art.
It really is. And that's what makes exploring wine so much fun.
I agree. There's always something new to learn.
Right.
So we've talked about how these grapes taste, how their wines are made, and how they age. But what about different regions? I mean, these grapes grow all over the world, don't they?
They do. And that brings us to the idea of terroir.
Terroir. That's a fancy word.
It is. And it means everything that contributes to a wine's sense of place.
Like what?
The climate, the soil, the altitude, even the traditions of a region.
Oh, wow.
It's why a Cabernet Sauvignon from Bordeaux tastes different from a Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa Valley.
Even though it's the same grape. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the grape is the canvas and the terroir is the artist.
I love that analogy. And just like artists have their own styles, different regions produce wines with unique personalities.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me more about these regional differences. Where do these grapes really shine?
Well, for Cabernet Sauvignon, you got to start with Bordeaux, France.
Of course.
It's like, it's home.
Right.
The climate there is cool. The soil is gravelly.
Hmm.
And it makes these Cabernet Sauvignons that are known for being elegant.
Okay.
Structured. And they age incredibly well.
So we're talking like black, currant cedar.
Currant cedar tobacco.
And that classic Bordeaux.
Yeah. Pencil lead.
Pencil lead.
Gravel.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
It's a thing.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
But what about Cabernet Sauvignon from other places?
Well, Napa Valley in California.
Okay.
They make these bold, fruit-forward Cabernet Sauvignon.
Because of the warmer climate.
Right. Warm climate, lots of sunshine.
Okay.
The wines are bursting with ripe black fruit, casita, and you often get a little mocha from the oak aging.
So it's like old world elegance versus new world boldness.
Exactly.
I like it. Okay. What about Merlot? Where does it really stand out?
Merlot also does well in Bordeaux.
Okay.
But on the right bank, places like Pomerol and Cinemillo.
Got it.
Their Merlots are known for being plush.
Plush.
Yeah, soft, velvety. Mm-hmm. They've got rich plum and cherry fruit.
Mm.
And often a hint of chocolate.
Oh, nice.
Or truffle.
Ooh, fancy.
Right.
I've heard those bank Merlots are like liquid silk.
They are.
But what about for everyday drinking?
Ah, well, then you got to look to Italy.
Italy, okay.
Their northeast regions like Veneto and Friuli.
Okay.
Make some fantastic Merlots.
Nice.
They're fruit-forward, approachable, and usually pretty affordable.
Perfect for like a casual Tuesday night.
Exactly, or a big party.
Love it. So we've got Bordeaux for those special occasions and Italy for every day.
Exactly.
Okay, now Tempranillo, I'm guessing Spain is its home turf.
You got it.
All right.
Tempranillo is the star in Rioja and Ribera del Duero.
Ah, two of Spain's most famous wine regions.
Exactly. Rioja Tempranillos are known for their cherry, plum, leather, and tobacco aromas.
Complex.
Very complex.
But what about Ribera del Duero?
Ribera del Duero, they're more powerful, more structured.
Okay.
With intense dark fruit and savory notes.
So we're seeing a pattern here.
Yeah.
Bordeaux for Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot.
Right.
Rioja for Tempranillo. Are there any other places where Tempranillo is becoming popular?
Well, you can find some great Tempranillo in Portugal.
Oh.
Where they call it Tinta Roriz.
Interesting. I did not know that.
And it's even starting to show up in California and Oregon.
Wow. Tempranillo is going global. So we've covered a lot of ground today. We've talked about how to taste these three grapes, how their wines are made, how they age, and even how, where they're grown affects their flavor.
It's been a whirlwind tour of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Tempranillo.
It really has. Before we go, I want to give our listeners a little challenge. Next time you open a bottle of one of these wines, really take your time with it.
Yes.
Think about what you're tasting, what you're smelling.
Engage all your senses.
Exactly. Can you pick out those key flavors? Can you tell if it's been aged in oak?
Yeah.
Does it feel bold and structured or smooth and easy to drink?
It's all about paying attention to those little details.
Exactly. And as you explore the world of wine, just remember, there's always something new to discover.
Always.
So keep tasting and keep enjoying the journey.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.